This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Wednesday, August 27th. Brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Labor shortage hurts more farmers. Wine Institute head to retire. USDA considering bridge farm aid and reorganization criticized. Labor scarcity grows amid mass deportations. A new Janina Foundation study reveals that California farmers are increasingly adjusting their practices in response to escalating labor shortages driven by immigration enforcement and declining farm worker availability. That is likely to accelerate, quote, in light of the current administration's goals for mass deportations. Between 2014 and 2018, the share of growers experiencing labor shortfalls nearly tripled from 14% to 40%, according to the Ag Economist. On average, farmers reported being about 20% short of their usual workforce. They adapted by raising wages, altering cultivation practices such as delaying or reducing pruning and harvest, and hiring farm labor contractors. Producers of labor-intensive crops that lacked mechanical harvesting alternatives showed even stronger responses. The study found a 20 percentage point increase in the likelihood for those farmers to raise wages and a 9-point increase for both adopting labor-saving technologies and changing cultivation routines. Yet many farmers hit their limits, leading 30% to report delayed or reduced harvest, a serious threat to both productivity and farm income. The authors recommend policy support in the form of subsidies, tax incentives, or reforms to the H-2A guest worker program to ensure a stable workforce. Wine Institute leader Bobby Cook to retire. Wine Institute President and CEO Robert Bobby Cook will retire at the end of 2025. That after 33 years with the association, including 22 as its top executive. He will remain in the role until his successor's start date while a nationwide search is conducted. Under Cook, the Wine Institute expanded direct-to-consumer shipping to 48 states and the District of Columbia, helped to secure a permanent federal excise tax cut under the Craft Beverage Modernization Act, and advanced the Certified California Sustainable Wine Growing Program, with 90% of California wine now produced in certified wineries, 45% of vineyard acreage certified. Cook thanked members and staff, saying, "I am so proud to have an incredibly talented team that works tirelessly on behalf of our members. Wine Institute is well positioned to continue to excel in the years ahead, achieving even more as we work together and stay united." Industry leaders, including current and former board chairs Robin Baggett and Matt Gallo, praised his tenure and contributions to small and medium wineries. USDA opened to emergency farm aid. Deputy Agriculture Secretary Stephen Vadin said the Trump administration is looking at providing some kind of emergency assistance to producers to serve as a bridge until they get to commodity program payments on the 25 crops next fall. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins is constantly talking to not only the president but other members of her cabinet about, quote, of possible need for emergency farm aid. Deputy Secretary Vadin said during the Farm Progress Show in Decatur, Illinois, yesterday. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West.
USDA gets comments critical of reorganization. The Department of Agriculture will be combing through comments on its reorganization proposal, that as it decides who should leave the National Capital Region and who should stay. Secretary Rollins announced plans in July to shut down some facilities, and that includes the Ag South building and the Beltsville Agricultural Research Center, and transfer more than half of the Washington area personnel to 5 regional hubs. 2 groups that submitted comments were critical of aspects of the proposal. Solutions from the Land, a farmer and scientist-led nonprofit, said Rollins should rethink the closure of the Beltsville Center. Closing it, quote, would represent a profound setback for American agriculture, the group said. BARC, with its 6,200 acres of research facilities and long-standing programs, is a cornerstone of U.S. agricultural science. Its closure would, quote, lead to the loss of world-class scientific talent and halt long-term, regionally relevant research plots and projects that are impossible to replicate elsewhere. The Food Research and Action Center said recipients of food and nutrition assistance would be harmed by the reorganization. The proposal, which would include relocating staff, consolidating regional offices, and the additional loss of institutional expertise, risk throwing the administration of food and nutrient programs into complete chaos and causing confusion among program participants, Frack said in a release. Under the proposal, the Food and Nutrition Service headquarters building in Virginia would be closed. By the way, Deputy Secretary Vaden said comments on the reorganization plan can be submitted until September 1st. He also vigorously defended moving jobs from Washington to regional hubs, where he said the cost of living would be significantly less. Vaden said the discovery of a traveler to the U.S. infected by New World screwworm poses no threat to U.S. livestock. Speaking to reporters yesterday at the Farm Progress Show, Vaden responded to a question about why the federal government did not immediately report the detection in early August. There were people who traded on that, DTNPF reporter Chris Clayton noted. If there are issues dealing with our markets, that's for the people that regulate markets to do, Vaden said. You're making an insider trading allegation. We at USDA are focused on the risk to cattle producers from the screwworm itself. This case does not represent that. USDA and the Department of Health and Human Services acknowledged the human case and the Maryland resident in a press release yesterday. The Maryland Department of Health said the patient had recovered. Take note, USDA's release said the department initiated targeted surveillance for NWS within a 20-mile radius of the affected area, encompassing portions of the District of Columbia, Maryland, and Virginia. To date, all trap results have been negative for NWS. Now, south of the border, USDA will be sending a team from the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service to Mexico in 2 weeks. They'll conduct a review of its New World screwworm protocols, Vaden said. By the way, Vaden said USDA leaders are going to try to move the timeline for constructing that sterile fly facility in Texas up as far as we can. House Democrats, state still waiting on some BEAD guidance. 10 House Democrats say states are still waiting on the Commerce Department for clarification on how to rework their applications to comply with updated rules for the Broadband Equity Access and Deployment Program. In a letter to Commerce Department Secretary Howard Lutnick, the lawmakers say states are confused about how they can use, quote, non-deployment funds, dollars put aside for uses such as connecting schools, libraries, and medical care facilities, or data collection and broadband mapping. States are approaching a September 4 deadline and are still awaiting guidance on this type of funding, the lawmakers say. Providing clear guidance about whether non-deployment activities are eligible uses of BEAD funding empowers states to make responsible, impactful decisions that advance the core objectives of the BEAD program. digital equity, affordability, adoption, and access, the lawmakers say. Well, here's today's final word. California will not stand by while this happens. We are committed to supporting and uplifting our agricultural communities. That Governor Gavin Newsom honoring National Farm Worker Day with a proclamation warning farm worker communities are being targeted by hostile federal administration indiscriminately terrorizing hardworking people. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Wednesday, August 27th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Alley.